Bonjour, everyone. How welcome back to the Magpie Channel TV for the weekly Magpie Channel podcast.
Yeah, episode three.
Episode three on a Tuesday night, every Tuesday, live at 7. This is a game, like there was last week.
Yes.
Apart from that, though, normally good.
That's one at the end of the month.
Blackburn.
Yeah.
Whose idea was a Tuesday night again?
Nah, it's a bad idea, that.
Well, here tonight, you can see there's a different backdrop. It's a lovely backdrop.
Ooh, new location. There.
And for the listeners at home who are listening to audio podcasts, we are available on Spotify, Apple, all of that as well. Lovely tanks of beer behind us there, which I've helped myself do as well, haven't we?
And we've got one or two.
Anarchy Brewery. War beer is getting drank. Fantastic stuff. So shout out Anarchy Brewery. We're here now. You can scan the QR code in the top corner or visit the website below. Remember, purchasing more beer helps War Flags as well.
Yeah.
A bit of that goes
down.
There's
some around as well. There's some Newcastle War Flags flags around.
We're going to get some involved in some of the videos as well. But this week we're going for the nice aesthetically looking brewery tanks full of delicious Anarchy Brewery.
And it is as well. No shit.
Oh, it is absolutely unbelievable.
Not just a paid partnership. This is absolutely
unbelievable. Just totally out there just enjoying myself.
I'm loving it.
Yeah, it's a great location. It's great. They have loads of events on here. The Lowest Town's got wrestling on here on the weekend.
Jordy Rick will be out there.
This summer they're going to have the Euros on, so that's going to be great. Loads of games.
Big screens. One there, one on the stage.
I've got stage there. We'll have gigs on, and then they're going to have more football matches on. Obviously, they had a sold out Derby Day fan zone here as well.
The Super Bowl's here on Sunday.
Nice.
Yeah, £5 a ticket with a free beer included.
Bargain. What more do you want? What more do you want? So shout out Anarchy Brewery, and we're here having a lovely time with some lovely beers. So we've got loads to get through, not just the pints. This week, topics on the channel, on the podcast.
Can't lie, I'm here for the beers.
Yeah, of course you are. We're here, we're going to talk about the Luton game, which is obviously absolutely mental. We're going to talk about the left-back situation, Gordon's injury, potential free agents that we could go for, FFP changes, which is in the title, because today the Premier League clubs have been meeting across a two-day schedule where they're going to discuss with the Premier League how to change, how to sort out financial fair play and PSR. So we'll digest that. And then, of course, we'll look ahead to this weekend's game away to Nottingham Forest. Ooh. So then, let's just have a quick look in the comments. And as always, we do finish off for the Q&A, so get your questions in, more so towards the end. Shout out to everyone that is locked in already, over 200 people. Thank you very much. Please do subscribe and like if you haven't already. Hello, are these actually live or pre-recorded? I guess that question came in, it did.
Live and direct.
Live in the flesh, right now. So expect bloopers. And anything else. Do you know what I mean? That's how
I'll go at them.
Shieldsy got the hat yesterday. Matty, it's a Bella. Nice. Thank you very much. Glad you're enjoying that one. It is sold out again.
Comfy and warm. Lovely.
We're going to get the last batch in end of this week, next week, and then that'll be it. Sold out yet again, the hats. But you can go to the magpiechannel.com to see what remaining merch is. A couple of hoodies left. Not many sizes, though. What else we got then? Eric Ladd says Jordy Gaza. Tony says Keg Trump. Just all the American gear.
Yeah, we'll cut that one up, please. Thank you. Not be taking that one.
Kegan full Panthers gear, just like the good old days.
Hell, he's real. Never changed. Never changed.
Fat by Pickle, shout out to them for being a member. What's War Beer like? It's absolutely
tremendous. Really, really nice.
You should try it. It's available loads of places in town. Nice loads of bars ale. Now. But you can get it by scanning that QR code. Try the cans, which obviously come with an unbelievable bit of
the graphic
design on there. Obviously, the lights kind of.
But it is nice though, and it's just a nice light beer, 4.3%. Doesn't blow your dick off like some of these do. But these are all really nice. This is a brand new one, Blind Faith, 4.8 IPA.
So nice.
Brand new this week, this one.
I tell you what a great thing is as well. Obviously, it is the annual foundation dinner at St. James Park tonight. And War Flags did donate 400 cans to that event for free. So everyone that's at that dinner, including all the players, first teams there, will be having a nice little Carnivore War Beer with the foundation logo on the side. Very good stuff. So, what else we got in the comments? And before we do talk about Newcastle 4, Luton 4, let's just do that. Let's just get into that there. Shout out everyone. Are we there then? What we got? Oh, Kevin's there from Florida. He's locked in. Shout out Kevin. Bit of a regular on the channel. Shout out someone that just became a member, Jordy Gaza, knows the score.
Yeah.
If you check out the community post on the channel as well, we've just gave away a brilliant photo frame there of the 07-08 team with the same team as Port there. Martin, Shea Given, Mike Lone, which you can replace. but yeah, check that out. And obviously, we do weekly, monthly giveaways on the channel. Just see Nobby Solano.
Yeah.
At the stadium tonight for the foundation dinner. Good to see Nobby back in the tomb with his trumpet. Okay, let's talk about them. We'll get back to your comments in a bit. But for now, how mental was that game on the weekend, Keg?
Absolutely crazy. I mean, the last time we had a 4-4 game, I mean, it might not have been the last time, to be fair, but obviously the most famous 4-4 at St. James's Park was obviously the Arsenal game, which is iconic, one of Premier League's, not just Newcastle's, but the Premier League's most iconic games. This one, I wouldn't really put in that category.
No.
It was interesting.
Neutral, maybe.
It was interesting, to say the least, but yeah, crazy, as you said. Don't really know how to take it, because obviously scoring four goals in front of your home crowd, amazing.
Normally.
Can't go wrong with scoring four goals at home, but the problem is conceding four goals, and especially when that team is Luton Town.
Yes.
If you conceded four against Man City or Liverpool or Arsenal or something, you'd hold your hands up and be like, all right, fair play. But Luton Town, we conceded four goals at home. Big problem, eh?
It is big problem. Because when you look at it and you think, especially when you go 1-0 up after 7 minutes.
Yeah.
Long stuff. But I thought my five almost coming in.
Yeah, I did as well. I thought we're going to absolutely breeze this. Avenge the defeat with Boxing Day, I think. Yeah. No, it was the day before. It was the 23rd.
Christmas Eve,
we got beat away. Embarrassing, didn't like that, but we were on a bad run of form. So, away form especially was horrendous. So it wasn't exactly against the run of play, but a bad and slightly embarrassing defeat, to say the least. So yeah, we needed to avenge it at home. We're in a good run of form, to be fair. Fulham, Sunderland. Who else did we beat?
Who was in the league just before that we won?
Why have I gone blank?
My name's not Pete.
Anyway,
how did you go live?
So we're in a good run of form.
Then we beat Aston Villa.
Villa, yeah. Of course, Villa, yeah. That was the last game. We thought, beat Villa. That was against the run of play. Away, 3-1. Tremendous result. As I say, form wasn't great. Away form, horrible. Smashed a really, really good team away. So we thought, this is it. This is the stepping stone that we need. We need to build on it. Luton should be an easy win at home. But you conceded four goals, man.
Not acceptable.
Not acceptable at all. Like, so I cannot work out. Like, I mean, fair play to Luton. Like, I kind of criticised. Well, I didn't criticise them. I bigged them up last week. But I said, like, they're not a Premier League team. Like, historically, the size of the club, where they've been previously, like, it's weird still seeing Luton Town as a Premier League club. Oh, and respect for it, because I love an underdog story, and I'm a fan of Luton. I always want them to do well. Like, when they beat Brighton, I was like, that is amazing. 4-0, a big team like Brighton. I was like, that's mad, but we can't let that stop them. That can't let us stop us at home. Mm. We can't get beat. So we scored four goals, and that should be enough.
Yeah.
But the fact that they were able to score four goals in two consecutive games against two very, very good teams like Brighton and Newcastle, fair play to them. Credit to Luton for that, but that's still no excuse on our part. Like, we can't be like, oh, well, you know, they're in good form, blah, blah, blah.
No.
Like, you concede four goals at home. Yeah. Like, that shouldn't even be acceptable if it's a City or a Liverpool. But the fact that it's Luton, we need to give ourselves a shake after that. Like, that's absolutely mental.
I would do, because Luton were in very good form. They did just put, and loads of Luton fans were in my match reaction giving a stick, saying you're not giving Luton enough credit. And fair enough, Luton have been very good. And
yeah.
They were dangerous that day. I said in my preview they would be dangerous. I still expect what to hammer them. But I said they'd be dangerous because they're full of confidence. Mm-hmm. Adebayo's been playing well. Yeah. He scored a hat-trick. You know, they've got that unity about them since Tom Lockyer, the captain, collapsed. And it's great to see him back on the pitch before the last game, you know. And I think they've really united behind that. And the manager's got to deserve a lot of credit for me.
Mm,
the manager's
doing
a phenomenal job.
Yeah, really
phenomenal
is.
Job.
Yeah.
But the thing with Luton Town is, it's Kenilworth Road. That's a freak of nature for anyone to go there. Yeah. Everyone goes there and craps their pants, don't know what's happening. Do you know what I mean? They don't like it. They don't fancy it. But when you come to St. James's Park, and what's happening at our place, you know, we beat off Forest, drawn against Luton. One way you can look at it is, though, I'll spin positive on it now.
Mm-hmm.
Spirit of comeback. 4-2 down.
True.
Do you know what I mean?
True.
That's looking like, I think, other parts of the season.
We're staring deep in the face,
You lose that game.
Yeah,
so come back from 100%. Two goals down can be a positive, I suppose.
Yeah. And, like, I know we conceded four goals, but we still got a point out of it. Like I say, it could quite easily have been a defeat. Like, we didn't lose the game. So that's maybe a little bit of a silver lining. Like, you concede four goals, 9 times out of 10, you lose the game. But we've got a point out of it. So, like I say, we came back, and that's great. Like, we showed a little bit of spirit when we looked down in the dumps, and we looked like we were staring defeat in the face. So, yeah, to be able to pull it back, yeah, that is a positive. And we've got a point. We didn't lose.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's not the worst thing in the world. It was still scored four and got a point. So, yeah, it that's definitely worst games out there.
It's so typical of Newcastle, and that's why the podcast for tonight's episode was originally titled All Aboard the Toon Roller Coaster because it was a roller coaster week where you beat Villa and then you concede four at home to Luton and draw. You know, only way you could do that. Only us could humble Villa in their backyard who hadn't lost a game in over a year. We batter them. It should have been more than 3-1. And then Luton come to Toon and score four. Do you know what I mean? It's typical Newcastle, but if you had given me 4 points at the start of the week, to draw Villa and win Luton, you'd take that. It's just, it's a bit of a kick in the teeth when
you think, shouldn't have been six.
We're seventh now. We build on this Villa win. We'll win these next three games in a row. Momentum, 12 points out of 12 before we face Arsenal at the end of the month. And you think, table's looking a lot prettier.
And like, I think, as I say, like, credit to Luton, and I'm a big fan of like, that sort of underdog story. But when they got promoted, I thought, mint, amazing for Luton. But I'm buzzing to play them because that's 6 points. Absolutely guaranteed to get 6 points. And what do we get with? One. Like, Luton got 4 points off us.
You told me we weren't going to beat Luton at the start.
I know. Like that was it. Like, I was buzzing for them, like Kenilworth Road, being a Premier League team. That's amazing. Buzzing for them, blah, blah, blah. But that's 6 points guaranteed. We've got one.
One.
I don't know whether I'll laugh or cry at that. That's absolutely insane.
And we say the draw was a spirited comeback, but our good friend Jacob Murphy, if you're watching, Juicy, should have scored, should have made it 5-4. At the back post, he misses that chance. Jacob, he should have been burying that. And then you talk, and then there's a classic. Yeah. It does become an iconic fixture.
It is,
you know what I mean? That great return.
Coming down
5-4.
From 4-2.
Because it was similar when we drew with Arsenal 4-4. I think it was Neil Ranger had a chance right at the end.
I think we had another opportunity. I think
what a penalty that should have been given, I think.
Yeah, should have had a penalty. Yeah, Ranger missed one. Was scored now. Did Best not score, but it was like marginally offside. That was pre-VR and all, to be fair.
He was on. Big up Leon.
Yeah, I can't remember off the top of my head, but I'm pretty sure it was a very, very close one. Yeah, so we could have won that Arsenal game.
We could have, but all the talk around that Luton Town game kind of... Well, we'll talk about Harvey Barnes soon and the impact he can have. Come back, scored the equaliser, Denzel Washington. But he, you know, one thing that people have highlighted, is he a scapegoat? Is he at fault? Does he deserve the blame? Is Big Dan Byrne. Everything's been around him. I was in the pub after the game and everyone was saying, oh, Matty Dan Byrne, Dan Byrne's. I was going to the car park from the match reaction. There was a queue of traffic, as you'd expect. Three cars in a row, wound the window down, Matty talk about Byrne, Matty say Byrne, Matty tell everyone how shit Byrne is. And I was like, I didn't want to do that, really. I like Byrne. He's been brilliant for the same for us.
I know.
But I did in that match reaction. And I think Eddie Howe's got to take a lot of blame for it as well, because he should have been pulled off at half-time. He was having an absolute nightmare.
I don't like criticising Dan Byrne. I love him. He's a Geordie, and he's got that passion in him. Like, you can tell he's probably one of the players in that dressing room that loves playing for the Toon the most. Like, out of the people that enjoy playing for the club, Dan Byrne's definitely up there, probably number one by himself. But that's not enough to stay in the starting lineup, in my opinion. And like, I think sentiment should be thrown out the window with the likes of keeping like the likes of Paul Dummett around because he's a Geordie and blah, blah, blah. He's basically a tour guide and a translator at this point. But yeah, I don't know why he's still in the squad. But yeah, Dan Byrne, like, I've never liked him playing left back. Like, I've said this since he started there. Like, he just looks so out of shape. But it worked last year. So as much as I hated the look of it, it worked. So I kind of complain. Fair play. It's working. Matt Target was injured. Dan Byrne filled in. Absolutely smashed it. We finished fourth in the league. Can't say no. But I just visually and morally, I was like, I fucking hate Dan Byrne playing left back. Honestly, I really, really do. Yeah. But now, Tino's came in and Tino's looked mint. Like, either side, he's versatile, so having a young, versatile player like that can only help. He's not a natural left-back. I give you that. We should maybe still sign one or give Matt Target a run in when he comes back. I know he's still injured, but yeah, this Dan Byrne, like, he's 31, 32 now. Like, he's 6'7", man. Knee one above fucking 6'4" should be a full-back. Like, you're too long, you're too gangly. He's a centre-back. In a backup one at that, because he's not better than Botman. He'd probably play on the left-hand side if he was in that back side. He's Botman's backup, in my opinion. Left-back, he can be third stringer. But he's not starting 11 quality for left-back, and in my opinion, never has been as well as he done last year.
Yeah, you can see. I mean, last year was unbelievable, obviously, but you can see, man, like you said, he's literally the most unorthodox-looking left-back in the history of football.
But he's not quick. He's not overly pacey. He's not overly fit. He cannot cross a ball. Like, that's everything that you want in a modern-day left-back, to be able to get up and down the wing and cross them in. Like,
the opposite on the other side.
Yeah, exactly. You want Trippier on the other side. And I think that's why it works, because that gives Trippier had the freedom to bomb forward, then we would slide it like a back three. Mm. And that worked, but I think everyone kind of sussed out. Like, you can't do the same shit for too long. People will eventually suss you out, and I think that's what's happening.
I think so. And when you think about Burn, lack of pace, just gets him absolutely murdered.
Yeah. And I'm surprised he's done so well against the likes of Mbappe and Dembele. And so, like, he's played against Salah and people like that and hasn't looked that out of shape for being as slow as he is. He's played against some of the paciest wingers in the league in the past 18 months and not looked bad. But now, I really think it's just starting to catch up on him.
I think, obviously, he gave his all last year as well. He plays his heart out for the for the badge, and it does get to a point where I just don't think he can keep doing it week in, week out. It gets to the point now where, like you see, he's...
At least rotation.
He needs rotated eye, at least. Because we've seen him against Fulham. He came back and he did well there, scored a goal and that. But I just think Eddie Howe as well, like I said, has got to take blame because he's got to manage him better.
Yeah.
He's got to look at that Luton game and think, right, we're coming up against one of the fastest wingers in the league here. Yeah. And then he's tried it and it hasn't worked for the opening 30 minutes. If you watch the highlights back, that penalty nearly happened about three times before it actually did happen. He's nearly pulled him back three times.
You can see that was coming. That was absolutely broad daylight.
It was coming. So for us to see that, Nelly not to see that, he's got to have criticism for it. He should have brought Tino on earlier. And we all bigged up Eddie Howe last week in the last podcast on Wednesday night after the Villa game. And when he brought Tino on to protect Dan Burn, to put five at the back, it really worked. It stifled Leon Bailey.
Yeah.
That's what you want. Mm-hmm. Whereas this week, he just continued letting Burn just chase after that kid. And before you know it, penalty. And then Luton are ahead. You know what I mean? So you look at that for me, and both of them need to take blame. But both of them going forward need to think more about the opposition, plan more, not just be like, that's me back four. Don't get who he's playing against. That's it.
I feel like that was the thing last season and all. And like I said, we've done so well and we're done very, very well. Like, we've got top four, so you can't complain. We achieved exactly what we needed to achieve. But all season long, I was thinking, like, someone's going to suss us out because we're doing the same shit. As long as everyone's fit, and for the most part last season, they were. This season's been horrendous. But last season, we weren't too bad with injuries, and particularly that back four. And I think it was that sort of level of consistency that made us so good. But I was just thinking, like, when's he going to change things up? When's he going to try something different? Because, like, sooner or later, we're going to get caught out. And now we got beat 3-0 against Villa away last season. I don't know if that was maybe one of them. I think that was maybe just a bit of a blip. That was just maybe Villa were just in really, really good form at the time. But all season long, I thought, like, we're going to slip up here because it's going to be predictable. Mm. People are just going to be able to watch our games and neutralize with. They're going to know what's coming. It was almost too predictable.
People have said that about us going forward, haven't they?
Yeah. Because I thought it was the same with Almiron. Yeah. Like, Almiron on the left wing, you know what he's going to do. And we said that a couple of weeks ago. You know what Almiron's going to do. He's either going to wait for Trippier on the overlap, cut in on his left foot and try and shoot, or he's going to pass off to Bruno. They're the only three options Almiron has in his locker. So as soon as you figure one of them out, then Almiron's basically irrelevant. But I was just thinking, like, just something that just needs to change. Like, people are just going to figure it out. And, like, once people start figuring it out, then what we're going to do? Like, we need to try, like, a few different things, even just for rotation. Just try something one game and it might not work, so you can revert back to it the week afterwards. And that's no problem. But, yeah, I'm just not really... Like, this season's just been a bit of a shit show, especially in terms of injuries. But, Eddie Howe's just kind of... I think he's really loyal, Eddie Howe, and I think that's particularly what Dan Burn comes down to the left back. I think he's just a bit of a loyalist and, like, just kind of has his favourite players. Almost like Gareth Southgate.
I know. I was just about to say, don't be a Southgate. Eddie. Yeah. Don't be an English, like, typical Englishman.
Did he say what that was on Saturday, by the way? Did he say where Southgate was?
Oh, watching Henderson, aye.
Yeah. No. But even, I know not many of the Luton players are going to get in the England team.
Everyone's tied with Ross Barty, you know, because he's on fire.
Yeah, but for, like, Livermendo, Longstaff, Miley, like, all the English players we've got, and Luton's got half a dozen as well. That could have been about 12 to 15 English players that Southgate could have been watching on Saturday. Where was he? Watching 33-year-old Jordan Henderson playing in Holland.
Amsterdam, full of it.
Mental, absolutely mental. But anyway, Southgate, we're not going to get on an England run. But
yeah, I'll be a good time on the old district. Denise Gareth, that's why he went. Didn't go watching football, did he? Went for the night time excursions.
For the red lights.
Loves the red light, does Gareth. But it just sums up Southgate, doesn't it, really? Yeah, even
not
throughout
surprised.
The rest of the Premier League.
Not surprised.
Could
at
have
all.
Been
anywhere in England.
Could have been watching Kobe Mania at Wolves the next day.
There's probably more than one English player playing any league game of the weekend.
You know, do you not know what you're getting with Jordan Henderson lately? Like,
literally.
He's playing the same level for fucking 15 years. Yeah. He's getting worse.
He's never changed like his style of play. Like,
did he go to that game and think, oh, I've never seen him do that before? Sidewards pass? Huh? Haven't seen that before, Jordy.
Sidewards are back. Oh, he played a forward pass. Oh, I need to
get
Jordan
Henderson.
Get him in.
Jesus Christ, my Southgate. But what I will say lastly on Dan Burn as well, make sure you're popping in the comments below. Are we being harsh? Are we being fair? What would you do with the left-back situation? Should he stay with Dan Burn or should he mix it up? What I will say is he isn't getting that protection from the midfield that he was last year. That was so pivotal.
I think I've seen someone put in the comments something about Joe Linton, which is a very good point.
Even Gordon would get back. Obviously, second half, he went off.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, you know, we had the midfield where you were a bit more protected. We had more energy because of the game. So Bruno could maybe get back a bit more. Yeah. Everyone could help him out and he gets no help whatsoever. Nah. I'll say that he wasn't helped at all. And it wasn't just Burn. I thought the whole defence had a bad game.
Yeah.
Trippier was at fault for one of the goals. He made up for it by scoring.
Yeah.
But he was at fault. He rushed forward and then he was caught out and then they had free space. I thought Botman looked really slow for the first time ever, to be honest, against Luton with closing people down. And Shaw as well looked like he was... The whole thing was just a bit of a daydream. So going into left back then, Keg, we've got Forrest on Saturday. We'll touch on that in more depth towards the end of the show. But is it time for Tino? Tino time.
I think for me and absolutely everybody else, everyone watching, everyone in the comments would probably agree, but I'll not be surprised because of Eddie Howe's loyalism. Like, if Dan Burn starts on Saturday, I will not be surprised in the slightest.
Nah, and it'll just be Twitter meltdown.
Not at all. But yeah, of course it is. Like, he's younger, fitter, he's got more energy, he can get up and down, he's a brilliant winger, like, good dribbler, he's strong, he can put in a well-timed tackle. He's everything that you want in a fullback. So, of course, and like, I know left back isn't his natural position. He's probably better on the right, but he's as good on the left and certainly better than Burn. Whoever's the best player for the job should get the job. End of story. I'd probably prefer the same on the right, but he's better than anything else we've got on the left at the minute. So why the fuck doesn't he play? Simple as, full stop. Best player plays the game. And for me, obviously, and everyone else, that is Tino, not Dan Burn. So, yeah, absolutely, he should, but will he? Probably not.
No, he probably won't. You're going to see the team news on Saturday and you know it's going to be...
100%.
It's going to be... For me, I think it's absolutely insane.
Yeah.
If we think about who could be playing for Forest, actually, it'll probably be like...
probably
the same team. The ex-Man U player, what's he called? The winger.
For Forest. Oh, Alanga.
Alanga. See you there. Do you know what I mean? Look at the problems the cause were at home. Gibbs White,
yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Chris Wood, even.
Fuck off, Chris Wood.
I'm not doing any videos of Chris Wood. This podcast next week is cancelled if Chris Wood decides to turn up and play like fucking R9 again on the weekend. Like, I'm not having it. I'm not. If he turns up, you may as well get the haircut at this point. The little fringe. Really. Do you know what I mean? Oh my God, Chris Wood, if he scores a... Elanga or Hudson-Odoi, sees Tony there. Both of them.
I forgot about Hudson-Odoi. Yeah.
He scored a great goal last night. On the weekend, 1-1 against Bournemouth. Which is a good point for them, to be fair. But... Chris Wood's injured, says Decker, so that's fantastic.
Ooh, lovely.
News. Great news, because he would have turned up again.
So the hat-trick hero.
But to be fair to one, he's back and he's a threat. But for me, it's got to be Tino time. It should have been Tino time last week.
100%.
I think Dan Burn has a place, definitely, for certain games.
Squad, 100%.
Burnley, he can play at left back. But no, I do like Dan Burn with Tino Livermore was there. Yeah. £40 million, young up and coming. We've seen him, how good he can be so far this season when he's been given a chance.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to be given the starting role now for me.
Yeah,
he definitely. Really has. And then, like you said, going forward long term, I think Burn's position has to be just squad depth centre back.
Yeah,
it has to be.
Even left back, like every now and then's fine. Not going to complain about him playing left back every now and then. Like if Tino's injured or if Matt Target's still injured, if Dan Burn plays, fine. I ain't got a problem with that. But like I say, he's back up in both roles. He's not a starting 11 centre back, and he's certainly not a starting 11 left back.
Yeah, he's not like. So let us know in the comments what you think. And on Spotify and Apple as well, you can drop comments in there and we'll get polls going and stuff about what you think regarding the left-back situation. So going forward, there is also nearly 500 people watching live, so do smash a like and subscribe if you haven't already. One player that did get injured on the weekend, which is, again, typical Newcastle, the two-in roller coaster. Harvey Barnes comes back.
Yep.
And then Anthony Gordon gets injured.
Tag team.
Just like Isak and Wilson. Look at him tagging out.
Just like
Royal Rumble.
Just like Devon and Bubba.
Royal Rumble. Just one goes over the rope, one comes back in. Do you know what I mean? Oh, my dears, man. Actually, before we do get on to Anthony Gordon, let's talk about Harvey Barnes and his impact on Saturday.
Yeah, yeah.
Equaliser, great finish with his left foot outside the box.
Yeah.
I'm buzzing to see him back.
Absolutely.
I tell you, the vision, didn't I?
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe not even 5-1, but I said, I'm
Yeah, I think having anyone back, to be fair, but I think people forget about Barnes because he was just a new signing this year, only played in a handful of games, scored the opening game of the season. And how far in was it? Like, when was the Sheffield United game? It was only like four or five weeks or something on it. So,
end of September.
Yeah, I think people forget about him. He's been out longer than he ever actually played. And yeah, I just generally think people just kind of put him in the back of their minds and just forgot that he even exists. But
I have a Charlie, to be fair.
Well, yeah, that's true. But I think people forget how good that he was as well. Like, last season, played for Leicester, who got relegated.
Loads of goals as well.
He scored loads of goals, but assists. I think people, like, really underrated him as a signing. Like, people were like, you're signing a fucking relegated player. Like, he's not that good. He's not worth the money, blah, blah, blah. But he really is. I think he's an absolute phenomenal signing. Very, very good winger. Either side, whichever one you want to play him on, he can play either side. So, yeah, I'm buzzing that he's back. It is a breath of fresh air. Especially Gordon's out now, but we'll touch on that in a sec. But yeah, like, having any player back is absolutely so refreshing. And I've seen this on Twitter on deadline day now. I don't know if you've seen it, but I don't know if we're going to touch on the transfer window. But
we may as well. Not much to touch on, though.
That's not at all. But I've seen on deadline day someone posted, would you rather, and I'm putting this to you, would you rather have... on deadline day, and that's past, so it's irrelevant, but
hypothetically,
on deadline day, would you rather have had one big, absolutely massive, sexy, big money signing, or get everybody back?
I'd probably say everyone back.
Yeah.
Because that would as well. One player over, you're talking Willick, Barnes, Wilson.
So yeah, big, sexy, big money signing, probably get injured next week. So.
Yeah, well, exactly. Yeah, you play one game, score half, it can be over, yeah. Or you have some sort of grounding problem. Some sort of thing going on in the background where he's banned for 12 yet.
Yeah.
So aye.
I think just getting more and more players back, like once the squad's fully back, we'll look like a brand new team. Like once you get like Bond, I don't know if he's fully fit, but once you get like Wilson, Isaac, Willock, Joe Linton, Hoytinali in there as well. Like once everyone's back, fit, healthy, ready to play a full 90 minutes, we'll be a whole different team.
We will be, like, because I think you've seen the impact of Barnes and someone who's actually on the wing. Yes, Gordon's been phenomenal this season, but I feel like Barnes is just that real out-and-out winger where he's got a technical ability.
He can score and assist, crossing, everything that you need.
Crossing, shooting, outside the box. We don't score many goals outside the box.
Yeah.
But Barnes is there to do that. And he looked lively, he looked sharp.
Yeah.
So hopefully he is ready because he obviously could be called upon this weekend.
Yeah, I might need him, I.
But Harvey Barnes, it's brilliant to see him back. What you said, though, people were questioning the price tag over him. What was it, 35, 40 million?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because he'd got relegated. But for me, I just think it's because he hasn't got a sexy name. Harvey Barnes.
Yeah.
Sounds like a postman.
Harvey Barnino.
Aye, he's Barnino.
90 million, anywhere he's.
Barnino. You know what I mean? Aye, 95 million. So Barnes, I'm buzzing to see him back. And I think he could honestly be playing a big part for the rest of our season. Like,
yeah, absolutely. 100%.
Really looking forward to seeing what Barnes has got to offer. 13 goals last season for Bobby Barnes, says Tony, which isn't bad unless
I
say
I think maybe he's only had one assist. I might be wrong. Someone might be able to check that for us. But even so, like, it's double figure goals and assists, which is what you need from a winger.
Definitely what you need. And that is the case even more so with Anthony Gordon coming off with the moon boot.
And then he got buzzing.
When I seen that afterwards, I was like, oh, I just can't say I can't.
Yeah, no. that is typical of Newcastle. Like, that is Newcastle all day.
What's the point anymore? You can't be serious, man. Like, literally, you got Isaac and Wilson who are never fit together. It's like one of them needs to be fit for them both to be fit.
Literally.
It's always swapsies. Now Gordon and Barnes are swapsies.
Literally, it's fucking Devon and Bubba, fucking Jeff and Matt.
And then you've got
Hardy Boys, Dudley Boys.
Yeah, Willick's meant to be back soon. Then Joe Linton gets injured. It's like, can we just have like one player?
Fucking TLC match, yeah.
Two for this, you know what I mean? Can we have two players in this position, please? That was the whole point, wasn't it? You know what I mean? My God, man. So Gordon comes off, but apparently it's not as fearful as first seemed. Now, this is just coming from the Chronicle, I think it was saying that he could be all right for this weekend's game against Forest, which would be a big surprise. Considering he went in crutches, and then he was pictured the other day at the Metro Centre still in his crutches.
Obviously, I haven't seen that.
Aye, some kid got a photo with him and with the crutches, and a couple of pages reposted it. So I'd be Very surprised.
Nah.
And whatever Eddie Howe says on Friday.
Yeah, take that with a pinch of salt. Yeah. Because what they were talking about, Isaac.
Tyndall trying to say he's out of the gym.
And I was like, is he? I don't think so, my friend. I wish that was true. But
my dog doesn't give a fuck. He makes up whatever he wants.
Yeah, so Eddie Howe will be back on Friday with his press conference going, oh, I go and spit, I go and start, I 100%.
He's absolutely fine. Oh,
wait, did I?
Just been doing up the Tyne Bridge there.
Just broke his toenail, man, he'd be all right.
Just been running up doing the Tyne Bridge, his green paint. Getting it ready for you. He's absolutely sound. Been volleying them in all day.
When you leave on a moon boot and you're in crutches, then a day or two later and you're in the Metro Centre still on crutches, yeah, that's not a good sign. You're going to be out for at least a couple of weeks.
You would have thought so. Which the Chronicle also, I think it was the Chronicle, someone, I think it was, said that Isak would be out for the next two games, which when that news first broke, and we said it last week on the pod.
Yeah.
Two to four weeks.
Have you got any notifications?
No, we haven't actually. We've normally got some live breaking news on the podcast every week. Oh, have you got some of that? No,
not with it.
Stay tuned though, still half an hour to go. There probably will be some massive breaking news.
Honestly, we're cancelling it if something comes through in the next like 20 minutes, half an hour. Like, if we get a big injury news update, like, honestly, we're fucking done with this podcast.
Cursed. Sorry, I'm just gonna come here without the camera and drink beer.
Week one, Joe Linton, week two, I was like, live on the show.
Gordon ruled out for 14 months. So Isak, as we'd expected when it first came out, they said 2 to 4 weeks. Tyndall was trying to say he was back against Forest. Yeah. Now it's looking like he is going to be out for that couple of weeks we expected. But the bench as well was the one other player that was back on the bench on the weekend. Barnes was back in. Well, obviously Wilson was back and had to come on, didn't he, for Gordon down the middle. So
we didn't expect Wilson. No, nothing was said about Wilson in the press conference, I don't think. Not that I heard.
So Wilson, well, this is where we go wrong, though, because this is where it happens. Wilson has to then cover for Isak, who takes a knock.
Yep.
Wilson then starts four games when he's not ready to start them.
Gets injured.
Isak comes back, starts the next five games when he should probably play two or three. Can't rotate.
Yeah.
And he would just rinse and repeat.
Barnes will be playing absolutely class for the next 5 weeks. And Gordon will come back, then Barnes will be out for the season. Wilk will probably play two games and be out for the year.
Oh, that's Wilk. I really hope Gordon's injury isn't serious, like, because, you know, Southgate probably won't pick him since he just can't stand and gets wrecked instead of watching English players in the Premier League, going there and watching Jordan Henderson from the 42-year-old. So he deserves that England call-up. If he keeps on playing the way he does, you'd think he'd surely be within a shout. So I just think for his sake, and more importantly, Newcastle's sake, for that FA Cup run that we've got coming, and the push for Europe, we need Gordon back. He's been our best player season for me probably so far.
Yeah, so I think that'll be interesting as well. Like, if we'll get everybody fit, and last couple of weeks we've mentioned Almiron, like, would you go with Barnes left, Gordon right, Isak up front?
If
everybody's fit and healthy, is that our best front three?
I think that's the deadliest front three. I think that's the most dangerous front three. The front three that's going to really get you the most goals.
Yeah.
Maybe balance when I think, because it's hard because obviously Anthony's had a brilliant season on the left flank.
Yeah, no, it is hard to move him off of that, and I think that probably is where he's best.
Do you mean you could drive Barnes on the right? I suppose he scored his left foot on the weekend.
True, so I think Barnes, like, I think they're both. That's what I thought when we first signed Barnes.
It was a bit strange.
Yeah, I was thinking, like, he's more of a left winger. Like, we need a right winger. I don't know why we've signed. Like, that was my only grievance with Barnes. I wasn't mad at this, but I was thinking, like, why have we gone for a left winger?
I thought he must be training Gordon on the right now. Then.
Yeah, that's what I thought. One of them, at least. I mean, one of them's going to have to play on the right.
And I thought, well, that's great. We've got Champions League. We're going to have loads of games. Brilliant if we can rotate Gordon Barnes. Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But if that was the case when the end of the window was shut, we thought, we're still a bit late in midfield. We're still a bit late in centre forward. It does still seem strange, the Barnes buy, considering FFP, and then last month we haven't been able to sign anyone because of it. When priority, I would say, would have been striker or centre mid over a left wing at the to challenge Anthony Gordon.
That's not breaking news, is it?
Breaking news, Eddie Howe sacks. No. Just joking. Eddie Howe, the boss is here. He's touched down at the owl there. Annual dinner there for the foundation at St. James Park. Brilliant stuff where the foundation do as well, and we will be playing at the foundation centre on that rooftop pitch next month.
Yeah.
Shout out Adidas for sending me the new Preds today. Goals! I try them on the day and they are delightful. I'm looking forward to it.
Will there be any goals?
Oh, there'll be loads of goals. Absolutely. There's always goals now, Charlie Matthews as well.
I know, literally.
Might finish top corner last year. We've handled them. You love a header.
Oh, I'm coming in with a big header this year.
Big headers. So, what else we got to talk about on this podcast there? With the injury to Gordon, then, we touched about strikers, you know, needing replaced in the summer, in January, needing backup. Obviously, we've only got one as it stands, and that one is Wilson, who is probably about 46% fit at a bush. So people were asking me about free agents. So free agents, and they were tagging us in Joseph Martinez.
Oh.
Miggy's old buddy.
Yeah.
From the old MLS. One, yeah. Last at Miami. He's now on a free. Martinez and Miggy.
Yeah.
The old, what was it? They used to do that, didn't they?
The heart thingy. Yeah. I'm laughing because I don't even know where I've seen it, but I've seen it on some like Sunderland fan page that they were talking about, like, it's when they signed Callum Stiles.
Who the hell is that?
He's a Hungarian international.
Darren Stiles is long lost brother.
Yeah, so I just seen it because I follow like a Hungarian football page. Long story. I just seen like them mention it, so I clicked on it and it was like Sunderland's official mention of Callum Stiles. And they were kicking off because he's more of like a winger, or he's more of like a centre mage that can cover at left back. But Sunderland fans were kicking off because they needed a striker. And they're saying, like, oh, where's the striker? Then someone listed the players that they could have got, and Joseph Martinez was one of them. I was like, he's not getting it.
Imagine going from Miami to the Mackens.
So that was a few players on that list, but Joseph Martinez was number one. I was like, you know, fucking have a day off, man. But
he'd probably come back if that was his only offer, just to go another night used to be.
And but we were saying last week, literally anybody. Literally anybody available, whether it was a loan deal. This was last Wednesday, so it was about 3-4 hours before transfer deadline day. But yeah, like I said, we need three strikers, and currently we've got two injury prone ones. Mm. So we need anybody. Anybody will do. But yeah, anybody who's half decent, and we were linked with Martinez, like after we signed Almiron, like I said, they were good friends. Mm-hmm. They still do the heart thingy, even though they were separate. and yeah, I don't see why not. I know he's only really kind of got higher level MLS experience with Atlanta and into Miami. Mm. But he came highly rated, and I'm sure not just Newcastle, a few other Premier League and European clubs were interested in him when he was in Atlanta. Mm. He's recently played with Messi.
Can't go wrong with that. Yeah.
And obviously that connection with Almiron as well. Like, it's not a bad option, but for the main points that we need, anybody will do. So why not? If he's available, he's free. He's got a good friendship with Miggy Almiron. He's a decent striker from MLS standards, at least anyway. But just to come in as at least third choice striker,
yeah,
for free,
you know,
where's the risk there? That's absolutely zero
minimum. I'm in favour of me. People may be what am I? But at the minute, just give him a 3-month contract until at least
just the end of the season.
Why not? Hope he's at Wilson are actually like near 100% fit.
And if he proves himself, if he gets enough game time, bags a couple of goals, then extend it. Keep next year.
Why? Yeah, exactly, because it's a no lose for me. Even if you. You look at games like Forest on the weekend where Wilson starts, but you know, even a fully fit Callum Wilson will start flagging after 70-odd minutes.
Yeah.
So even at a Wilson at this point, if you could have a Martinez bring on for 10, 15, 20 minutes.
Literally, where's the risk? The
worst thing he's going to do is just struggle to maybe hold the ball. He might struggle to score goals, but surely he'll at least be able to hold the ball, maybe link play
more
a little
experienced,
bit, give the defender a bit of
more
trouble.
More experienced and more proven than like Ben Parkinson or any of the kids, exactly, like Amadou Diallo, like anybody like that. So like, I really just don't get where's he from? He's not Colombian, is he?
Joseph Martinez,
yeah,
no, he is Colombian,
he's Colombian, aye. So, but he's an international.
Is that Ecuador's flag? That's it right there. That may be Ecuador, is it?
Is it? I think it's Colombia, isn't it? I'm usually good with my flags, but I've been put on the spot.
So am
I? No, I think it's exactly Colombian. But anyway, wherever he's from, like he's got international experience.
South America.
Yeah, played in the South American, what's it called, the Copa America. He's got experience, so yeah, it's a zero risk signing. But who else is available? Who else is on your list there?
Talk about experience. This man has it in an abundance.
You're not gonna say Diego Costa, are you?
Diego Costa, everyone.
Oh no,
he's 35. Was sacking him off? Wasn't he at Wolves last year?
He was at Wolves.
He stinks. He absolutely stinks. But in terms of forwards, we haven't got much options. Jesse Lingard is still on this list, but he's currently going to the rush hour. He's in South Korea.
South Korea.
There's not many strikers, really. Carlos Villa. He's old now, isn't he? Remember him?
Carlos Villa?
No, aye. Look at Carlos
Villa. I'm sure.
Right winger, 34, Mexican.
Isn't he like the top scorer in the MLS or something? Like, he bagged them in the MLS.
Yeah, again, another MLS reject. Get him in. Venezuela, well, he's from. So he's,
Venezuela, my bad. But he's 34. What's Joseph Martinez? 30?
That's our age, man. Poor forward team's dating.
No, that's true. But well, like you say, on a 6-month contract, free of charge,
I don't even suppose his wages will be mad. He's not going to be demanding like 100 grand a week contract.
No,
like,
no, give him 20 grand a week. We bloody.
So I'll absolutely take him.
There's some, honestly, this list of free agency, let's just rattle through someone for a crack. Mamadou Sakho, remember him? Liverpool and Crystal Palace, wasn't he? Sakho?
Centre-back. Oh, yeah. I thought one of the strikers there. I was like, who?
That's the last of the strikers. There's not many strikers gone.
No. Sakho, no.
One of the youngest ones on the list, El Ghazi. 28 years old, right winger.
And El Ghazi.
Not quite what we need.
It's not what we need if we've got, like, Bonds and...
none of these I'm on about, by the way.
Gordon Black,
to be honest. It's just fun and games at this point. Quickly, a couple more.
Guillerme.
Did he ask the phrase? Apparently, wasn't he meant to be going to Saudi?
I think he turned it down. I think he'd rather come back to the Premier League. Like
Jesse, remember that winger as well.
Spanish. Oh, Jesse. Did he not play at Stoke? Did he not play at Stoke?
Eh? Awful.
No, he went from Real Madrid to PSG to Stoke.
Phil Jones.
Wow. I forgot he was a free agent.
A team of, like, the
even in the Championship or something. Okay.
Scotland, somebody like Aberdeen or something, Neil Warnock.
But they will probably take him in Saudi though, because he's a big name. He's won a shit ton. Like, his trophy cabinet will be bigger than most players from Premier League history.
Yeah.
I'm surprised Saudi, Saudi market doesn't hire a ton of bag at him.
Controversial one there, Sigurdsson. Whenever did that ever come out? Like, what his deal was?
I don't know. I don't think it did. But
34 years old. Remember, he won everything. He won everything. You're getting points deductions left, right, and centre. I was saying, people like him.
You deserve it.
But, there's Slim Pickens.
Slim Pickens, just Martinez, number
He's
one.
He's literally
absolutely
one and only, isn't he?
Yeah.
One and only. Okay, then, let's talk about what is in the title. Financial fair play changes are coming to the Premier League this summer, apparently, because hopefully this week, Tuesday and Wednesday, over a two-day period, Premier League clubs are meeting with the Premier League to discuss changes towards PSR and financial fair play. We haven't got loads of detail on them yet. There's a lot of rumours about what's happening.
I'm not really sure what's going on.
But I've got it here about potential projections and what could change as Premier League clubs are set to discuss this. Obviously, notably at the minute, you know, you've got Everton, Nottingham Forest. Also, Man City is a complex case with over 115 charges. So there's loads of talk about this. We've just came off the back of the quietest, most boring January transfer window in the history of transfer windows.
Listen.
Not just Newcastle. Nobody.
The entire Premier League.
Nobody spent money, did they? Nobody spent money. So we've got a football finance expert, Kieran Maguire, here saying about the proposed rules that could create a soft wage gap by linking wages to revenue. This could reinforce existing financial disparities between clubs as higher spending power attracts better players. The Premier League's proposal suggests that clubs participating in European competitions will be limited to 70% of their revenue as their wage bill, while those not qualifying for Europe could have an 85% limit, providing smaller clubs like Palace with more financial freedom.
Why has he picked out Crystal Palace there?
Digging them out, Molly.
Probably digged out Crystal
Probably
Palace.
Probably digged out there. Smaller clubs, Palace. The new regulations aim, not my words, the new regulations aim to curb overspending and reduce the risk of clubs facing financial difficulties, which was obviously apparently the main reason that FFP got brought in, not to protect the Big Six or anything, just to make sure nobody turned into the next Wimbledon. What a load of bollocks that was. Because you could just have separate rules where your clubs have to divulge your financial revenue, but at the same time, if you've got the money, you can spend it to a certain degree. Yes, you can't go on a madness like Roman Abramovich's Chelsea or Man City when they first came in. But Newcastle not being able to get someone on loan.
Yeah, I know.
With all these
literally
riches, it's just absolutely shite, man.
Crazy.
Additionally, the Premier League may introduce real-time monitoring of financial accounts instead of adhering to the current three-year cycle. So at the moment, you have, obviously, you can't make a loss of more than 105 million per 3 years. So that would make a lot more sense, to be fair. That would be nice to have a bit of logic to it where you could just run real-time. So maybe at any given point, the Premier League could ask to see your accounts or could give you a few months' notice and say you're in such and such, you can't sign that player because you're already 80 million in debt or whatever.
Yeah.
That would make more sense than being like, oh, over 3 years, 100 million.
Yeah.
What a load of nonsense that is as well. This was brought in FFP over 10 years ago now. It's way outdated.
Yeah,
they're not even taking into account inflation because 10 years ago when this was brought in, a player that cost $5 million back then now costs $20 million.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, I still can't fathom players being worth like $100 million. Like, and I think that's me, just me being old school.
It's
but
just you thinking of FIFA 06?
I remember when Zinedine Zidane was the world record fee for a good 5 or 6 years, maybe even longer. It feels like forever. Zidane was the most expensive signing at $45 million. And it felt like nothing was ever going to beat that. It's like, $45 million, fucking hell, that's so much.
And but now that's nearly a Tino Livramento.
That's absolutely nothing in this day and age. It's absolutely crazy. That's just me being old and just remembering when $45 million was a world record fee that seemed like it was never, ever going to get beat. Now, like, what, Neymar was $200 million. Like, now it seems like that's never going to get beat. That sounds like an astronomical amount. But 10 years down the line, that, who knows, that could just be a very, very good player.
Dwindle Haaland leaves. What's Haaland going to go for? And Mbappe when he eventually leaves to Real.
But FFP is a piss take because like that is even ways around it. And I know they're probably going to get fucked for it. But Todd Boehly at Chelsea, he's just been absolutely taking the piss, just putting people on like 49-year contracts and stuff so they can like spread the money out over long terms. And like, it's just a loophole. Like, I know they're probably going to get done for it. But as it seems, like, that's sort of within the rules. And that's what they need to try and like sort out. So they are, people's actually found out that they can get around this. How do we fix it? But it just never really worked in the first place. Like, say, like, Newcastle's got all this money, but they can't spend it over a 3-year period. And like, I just think that's absolutely crazy. Like, it just clearly doesn't work for better or for good.
No. Todd Boehly, you mentioned Chelsea. He's cocked it though. Because he's gave these players like Enzo, Caicedo, Barry Shiel, 8-9 year deals. Yeah. And you can tell how much they're not asked.
But the thing is, though, they're going to need success. I think from I read a report probably about a year ago, or maybe at the beginning of this year. Like, they're going to need to win a Premier League and be absolutely solid Champions League team in the next 2-3 years. Just otherwise, financially, they're fucked. And well, now they're 10th in the league. Where were the last season? 12th or something?
About half out of 12th. That's like, defeat of Wolves.
Is it like they're just putting players? It's like kind of Saudi. They're just getting on massive contracts, guaranteed money, big wages. It's like kind of Saudi, like people don't give a fuck about going to Saudi. They don't give a fuck about winning the Saudi League. Like, that's not everybody's aspirations when they're a kid, is it? Oh, I can't wait to win that Saudi Pro League. You're going for money.
Ronaldo never made me Champions League. Yeah. You know what I mean? I'll take the Saudi League.
You're going for money, end of. And it's a shame because Chelsea are a big team. They're one of Europe's biggest teams, capable of winning the Premier League and Champions League if done right. And it's been done in the past. When did they win the Champions League? Was it 2021?
Chelsea, 2020? They've run a few. Even Di Matteo won it for them, didn't he?
2021 was the last one, so not even that long ago. They won the Premier League. They've won multiple Premier Leagues. They're a good team, but they're just being absolutely taken the piss out of now because there's this American financial guy who thinks he's playing fucking money ball in baseball, just hoying money at people, massive long-year contracts, and they think that's going to ultimately get them success, but now they're just getting players that aren't worth the money and or don't give a shit.
Well, you can see they don't give a shit the way they play. Literally, no one's tracking
back.
And
they sold
no
all that, like, people that do give a shit, like your Mason Mounts and people like that. So
it was funny because I was watching a thing the other day and they were saying all the players that they've shipped on are actually flying now. So you think Hudson-Odoi, who scored at Forest on the weekend. They've set this out that they gave that kid to Burnley on loan. He scored a brace on his debut. I think it was Fofana.
He
scored a brace. You've got other people shining all over the Europe.
Tamuri.
Aye, Tamuri and that. So you've got the players that let go. Like, they do well when they leave. And you can see that, where's their motivation? If you don't want to form that trap, and I'm so glad in a way Newcastle didn't do this because it would have been quite easy to try and go, Casino, 100 and 100. Oh, man. Casino is signed for them now off the back of a good 6 months at Brighton. And he's on silly money. Sterling is 32 or something. He's on £325,000.
What I don't get is, like, in the summer transfer window, one of the top two targets were both central defensive midfielders in Caicedo and Romeo Lavia. And one of them was almost guaranteed to go to Liverpool and the other one to Chelsea. And it was like a bit of a toss-up between who was who. But both ended up getting Chelsea. What's the point? I don't even think Lavia's played. I don't even fucking seen him.
I think he's injured a lot.
Talks of him going out on loan in the summer, but you spent about 50 million for him. He's like 18, 19 years old. You spent about 50 million on him and he can't get a game.
Yeah.
What was the point in that? It goes back to Chelsea under the early like Abramovich Mourinho days where they were just signing like Steve Sidwell just because they could.
Number 9, remember that?
They had one good year. Khaled Boularouz. They were just signing anyone just because they could. I think just to stop people from buying them. I think it was just a greed thing. Like, one good player, probably never going to play for Wolves, but X, Y, and Z. Man United's interested in him, so I will sign him just so they don't, and then they just never ever see them again.
So that honestly makes me feel a bit better about Newcastle and the quiet January and the way we're going about things.
Yeah, we could have done that.
Looking at us now, after just playing the Champions League, Chelsea, you've had a free hit. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yesterday in the final, I'm still good that we didn't beat them, because we should have beat them. They are crap.
Yeah.
They are 1 second away from doing it as well before it goes to pens. Then we would have had Borough. We would have been in that final. I'm still gutted about that. But you look at them having all this time to train, and Pochettino, one of the best young coaches in the world and all that. And he's came in there and they're bottom half.
Yeah.
You talk about they're going to have to be Champions League successful. They're nowhere near that at the minute. Yeah. And then Newcastle are still, you know, after all these injuries and everything else and all the Champions League games, still above them.
Mm-hmm.
And we're still in the FA Cup and they're doing a good cup run as well. So, yeah. You know, it could be worse. We drew at home to Luton, but it could be worse. Concede a 4 at home to Luton, could be worse. Just get back to the FFP stuff in. We went on a Chelsea tangent there.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Louis Benevente, we tuned in.
Big sorry, up. Louis.
Chelsea Echo. Where were we then? So, again, the last thing I talked about FFP was the Premier League looking to introduce a real-time function towards tracking financial accounts instead of the current 3-year cycle that they're doing. So this would require the clubs to submit their accounts for the previous season by the end of December, allowing for timely processing, charging decisions and sanctions before the end of the season. So again, just helping the clubs now, being a bit transparent.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Liaison with them. As discussions inform potential changes are considered, the future of financial regulations in English football remains uncertain. But we are due to hear more about this tomorrow night or Thursday. So there's talks of it now maybe linking up with the UEFA's financial fair play regulations, which they aim to eliminate reckless spending and a gradual decrease, all those sort of things. But there's no votes on the rules during these meetings, but the reports are suggesting that it changes could be implemented as early as the summer. But big things need to change, because as we mentioned with inflation, and we mentioned with the price tag now, and the Premier League will literally just look at that January window and just be like, well, that was shit.
Yeah.
That was boring. Like, that was the worst deadline day
they want, ever. Want, like, obviously, exactly. Money coming games. In. Yeah,
we've relied upon all the biggest names in the world coming to the Premier League because of the money and the stardom and the Sky Sports and the how competitive it is, or the big games, the big clubs clashing. That's going to fizzle out if you keep FFP in play.
Yeah.
When you see Man City not even spending in January, saying that young Argentinian kid. When you see Arsenal, who are gunning for the title, can't even afford a striker.
Yeah.
If they signed a striker on that window, they could literally win the league.
About 5 years ago, it probably was, Van Dijk was one of, like, the most expensive defensive midfielders in history, about 75 million. That was a January signing. This season, the probably most exciting signing was Timo Werner on loan.
He's done alright, to be fair.
And but who's been better? Any bigger names?
Any big
teams? Like,
I think the biggest signing, well, I can remember, you let me know in the comments if we're wrong, people, was that Romanian defender that went to Spurs for like 20-odd million. Damn, I can't remember anyone else. He came from the Italian league. He actually turned down Bayern Munich. Was he calling Radu or something?
I remember seeing that. But yeah, I don't know who he is. He's not a big name to me.
No,
I
never heard of him until he happened. Who he is,
but Timo Werner on loan. Biggest January 2024 signing.
Insane.
Class.
Insane stuff. Let's talk about this weekend's game. We've been going on for nearly an hour already. That's flew over.
Pushing it.
Yeah, I know, Ebru. 431 people watching live. Please do smash the like and subscribe if you haven't already. Portmeister is a member. You can also click join and we'll get into the comments at the end as well. The Chronicle saying our max wage bill on the new system would be 175 million. That wouldn't be much, was it? Not sure about that. We'll talk about that later. So, Keg.
Yeah.
Nuno Santo.
R5
against Forest. Sky Sports. A weird section sold out for the two, just under 3,000 of them. Obviously, you mentioned last weekend trying to avenge against Luton.
Yeah.
Let's try and avenge for, which was another humiliating defeat at home to Forest.
It was, yeah. And I was just looking at Forest's record and all, and like they really haven't been that great. They've only won 5 games all season. The last 2 was Newcastle on Boxing Day, Man United just before New Year. But before then, you've got to go back to November 5th for the last win. And they've just been a meh team. Like, they're about 16th in the league or something. Like, they're very underwhelming. Like, I think they've got some decent players. Like, obviously, they spent about 120 million last summer. So,
16th.
Yeah. So yeah, they're just not an overwhelming team, and I feel like especially at home on Boxing Day, we should have beat them. I know we were in relatively poor form at the time. In fact, not relatively, fucking shit form. But
knackered.
Yeah, tired form. But I don't know. Like, I don't know how to feel about this. Like you say, we should avenge it. Like, Boxing Day was embarrassing. Home, Chris Wood hat-trick. Shambles, absolute shambles. But after Saturday's performance against Luton at home, which should have been another avenge game, I don't know what my confidence level is of going away and beating them.
I know. I mean, the last away game against Villa, sensational.
Yeah.
More of the same.
And that was a surprise. Like, no one expected to go and beat them that well, even beat them at all. So hopefully this is another pleasant surprise. But yeah, it should be either way, home or away, Newcastle should be beating Forest and Luton's. I don't care.
Oh, definitely. These are teams that are fighting relegation.
Yeah, 100%.
And if we've got that game to kick on our season and try and get 6 or 7 for the push, then you've got to be beating your Forests and your Lutons. I mean, Forest did have a good result. I'm looking at it here on the weekend there. I think 1-1 away to Bournemouth, Hudson-Odoi with that goal. Not a bad result for them, because Bournemouth have been having a good season.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to mention this. Ex-Newcastle player signed. This was the biggest sign in the January transfer window.
Was it?
Matt Sells.
Oh, shit. Did he start? Did
he's
he?
Debut. I didn't even know. For Forest as well.
That's mad. Where's he come from? I didn't. You know, no is, idea he, is he not doing all right? I think he went back to the Dutch league.
Was not
Anglect
or something?
He's Belgianized, so he's not Dutch. But he's been in the Dutch squad. I think he's been like the third choice goalkeeper since the dawn of time. He's just been behind, obviously, Courtois. He's behind Mignolet. Well, Mignolet is still in the team or not, I'm not sure. But he's always in that Belgium squad. But, yeah.
He's always in that Belgium squad, actually, isn't it? They like him over there, like.
But who was their keeper before? Like, it was
oh, like Turner, the American.
Oh, Matt Turner, yeah.
Absolutely lifting him, like. He was on the number one sheet.
He was on the bench, right?
Good, to be fair, because he was guaranteed to give you a goal away. He constantly give the ball away and give goals away. But Sells, I suppose you have a point to prove, eh? Get like Chris Wood, you probably save the best game of his life.
Save a penalty. Get it on now. What's the odds? What's the odds?
Save a penalty. You'd be clean sheet for Sells. Save 2 penalties. Save a trippier free kick. That was destined for the top corner. Honestly, Matt Sells. But yeah, you say you look at their team, the defence isn't great. Like,
Nico Williams.
They've got a couple of injuries as well. Like someone mentioned, Wood was injured. Omar Bomb at the back of something. Rio, Nuno Tavares.
Mm-hmm. From Arsenal, eh?
Hudson-Odoi is good, but that the forward line's good, though, for me.
I like the forward line.
Well, we know how good Gibbs White is, and you can't sort of attract him, and they really fancy him. Callum Hudson-Odoi is coming into a bit of form. Alanga's dangerous, not the best of end products, but he is a threat. And then Iwani is a handful of fuck. Mm. He's just came back from injury.
Yeah, he's decent, him, like. I do like him.
I do like Jai Iwani. I'd have him as like a third, fourth try striker, like.
Aye, 100%.
But Forreston on the weekend, what else have we got on it? You know, Newcastle got a very good record there at the City Ground in the last 6 Premier League visits. We are unbeaten in the first 5, drawing the first 3 and winning the most recent 2. Last year was obviously very good. We had the 2-1 Isaac penalty at the end. We're talking here, you know, the optimism over Anthony Gordon being available despite going off at half time with that twisted ankle. Wilson should be okay, where you think Isak would still miss out. And we're still awaiting comebacks for Anderson, Willock, Lascelles, Target, and obviously Nick Pope. So
I think that'll be interesting, though, because I don't know how confident I would be in starting Wilson, like if he's 100% fit. I'd only play a player if they were 100% fit. And obviously, we've got no Isak, and my definitely not going to have Gordon either. So are we going to force Wilson into the starting 11, or are we going to try and change things up with a false 9 or something? Like, I don't know what we do up front.
If Gordon's out, it's going to have to be Algo, Barnes, Miggy, Wilson.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. Can Wilson play?
Or if Wilson's not fit, I've got knees.
That's what I mean. Like, are they going to force
needs to come
him
in the next few days?
Literally.
Like, because if you haven't, then...
Yeah, are we going to force Wilson to play if he's not 100%?
Are you going to play maybe... Has anyone that could even play as a false name, really?
No. I think Almiron done it a couple of times in the...
Oh, John.
It was. To be fair, it was the first time Graham Jones came in. Graham Jones' first game changed things up. Everton away. They played Wilson on the right. And played Miggy as a false 9. And to be fair, we're fucking class. Wilson scored 2 goals, 1-2-0 away. The Graham Jones effect. But yeah, I don't really fancy that doing that again.
Yeah, we're literally going to have a forward lane full of left wingers, and not really. Yeah. Let's just hope Wilson's fit enough to get something going in the game. We mentioned, obviously, Sells, ex-Magpie. Looks like Wood is going to miss out this game through a... What injury was it? It was a hamstring injury that Wood is going to miss out, thankfully, because he's already scored three against us this season, so that's good. And actually, Jonjo Shelvey's permanent move to Rizespor has been confirmed. So he was on loan to Turkey.
Oh, was he? I thought...
Now he loved the Turkish delight. He loved the sunset. He's got an afro now. He looks good.
My turkey, Mr. Chandler.
Hair transplant for Jonjo. So Forest, Premier League home results so far this season. They've had three wins, including against Villa and Man U, to be fair. They do turn up more against the bigger teams, and they've drew with Luton, lost to Bournemouth, lost to Everton at home. So there we go. Sky, half five, Keg, score prediction, please.
Oh, I'd have an hour with this one. I'm not all that confident. Like, I'll probably go with a 1-1.
1-1?
Yeah.
Would that be a bad result, or would you say that?
I mean, a point's a point, but I take that as a bad result. Yeah. I think we should be winning, especially having lost to them at home. Mm. Like, we talk about avenging. We should be avenging this game, and I know it's away, and I know our home record's been, our away record's been appalling this year, and they can be a little bit tricky. But I really feel like we should be beating them. At least one game out of two, we should be beating them.
Oh, right.
But we've got to win this game for me. I feel like this is a must-win game to try and get a little bit of momentum going before playing Arsenal. So, I want to win this game. But head's telling us a 1-1 draw, which for me is a bad result.
I think if you had of beat Luton, then a 1-1 wouldn't have been the end of the world. But after drawing against Luton, you've got to say
it. Yeah.
And you look at them in the table, they get draws, they're not really that great. 16th. Mm-hmm. The 16th, man. If we've got aspirations of being top six, top four's gone for me.
If
you're trying to get European football again,
I don't think we'll get fifth.
You've got to, neither do I. Honestly, I think we'll get sixth or seventh. That would be all right.
I think sixth at best.
But if you want sixth or seventh,
you've
got to be Forest.
You've got to be
teams that are in the relegation battle.
Yeah.
This early, you can kind of forgive the relegation battle teams if it's April, May, because they're fighting for their lives.
Mm.
Now that it's only just turned February, you've got to go into Forest. And listen, Forest, you know, it is a hostile ground. It's not going to be easy under the lights, all that stuff.
I didn't underestimate them. And now they're 16th in the league.
It's got dangerous players. Yeah. James White, that can hit. We're 1 year. But, for me, I'll be optimistic. I'll say we'll win this one 2-1.
Mm.
I'll go 2-1.
I'd like to think so. Like my head's telling us, obviously, 1-1. But I think it's going to be close, even if I am being optimistic. I think it'll be a close game. I'd like it to be a game like Villa, be a 3-1. That'll be absolutely sexy pants.
Sexy pants.
I think 2-1's a brilliant result. But, hopefully, fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. Drop your score predictions in the comments below, people. And as usual, I'll be back on Friday with the match preview and press conference reaction. Will it be Eddie? Will it be Jason?
Mm.
Will it be Graham?
Maybe Graham.
Graham. Maybe. Thank you to everyone that's tuned in. Thank you to Super Chat. We'll rifle through them now. Get your questions in. We'll run this for another 5 minutes or so. Get your questions in the chat. Thank you to Andrew, sent in the Super Chat earlier on at the start of the show. All right, lads. I am proper looking forward to seeing what Adidas has in store for us when they come in. So am I.
It's going to be sexy.
Can't wait. But you've got loads of money spare for that as well, Andrew, because that's going to be sexy but expensive.
Yeah, expensive.
Because I see all of Adidas range that they put out for Arsenal when I'm watching DR Sports and Robbie's wearing it all the time. Cecil's wearing it, you think, oh, that tracksuit's lush. That hoodie's nice. Wow, what was that, the new training gear?
Yeah.
I think, my God, I'm going to have to get a fucking loan out to get all these Adidas gears and like, literally,
they have some kits now. They're not bringing out like special kits. Edition kits and stuff.
Underground kits. Metro kit? Yellow and black?
Maybe.
No, I know. But I'm buzzing for Adidas as well, Andrew. Cheers to Joe Geordie for this super chat. If Gordon, Wilson and Isak were injured, who would you stick up front and why? Preferably an actual squad player, not an academy lad. So briefly on the academy, obviously you'd have a Parkinson, Diallo, Indueni went out on loan, I think.
He did, yeah.
So who would you stick up front, Keg, and why?
I don't know. We did touch on that before. Like, I know Almiron's played as a false nine a couple of times before when Graham Jones first came in. We've touched on free agents. But, I really, really don't know. Can Barnes cover as a striker? I really, really haven't got a clue unless it's going to be Parkinson or Diallo.
Fabian Shaw. And shout out Deckard for becoming a member. Let's have a look at the last few chats then before we sign out tonight. Port Mesa, who's a member as well. I hope there's a Toon Adidas handball special in black and white with a blue flash and a gum sole.
Sounds nice.
There we go.
Don't really know what you mean, but sounds nice.
No, it sounds good, right? Best chant now and ever?
Ooh.
I like the Sandro chant at the minute. Yeah. Ole, ole, ole. That's a catchy one. Ever. We do like the intro. You know, who's that team of Core United?
Yeah.
Playing races.
The good old classics, right? To be fair, some of the newer ones cringe me. Like, I fucking hate them.
Oh, which one don't you like then?
Oh, I don't like the old Asandro one. It was just the last line in it.
Oh, right.
I can't even remember how it goes now. I'll probably erase
it. Marie, spaghetti.
Yeah, it's shit, that.
Aye.
But it's just the, actually, you know, it's just the last one. I mentioned the last line. So it goes like, fucking hate Sunderland. Like, doesn't rhyme.
Nah.
It just seems like a line that's just been stuck in. It's shit.
Yeah.
Not a huge fan of the Dan Byrne one yet, to be honest, because it's been ripped off like a fucking Clubland track. Like, it's lifting. not a fan of new ones.
Where's the list of upcoming live streams? I missed two now. You've not seen them, Jordan.
Oh, how are you, man? Jordan,
every Tuesday, Jordan, same time. This is a game live at 7 p.m. every Tuesday, and then live streams. That's the live stream for the lot, really. Sometimes after a match game, if I'm not there, I'll do a live reaction. So this Saturday against Forest, 10 minutes after full time, there'll be a live match reaction then. But
with the podcast, obviously it's streamed live, but it's on YouTube, so you can go and watch episodes 1 and 2 now, and they're also available on your audio podcast platforms.
Exactly.
So they're always there. YouTube, Apple Music, Spotify, Amazon Music, or whatever it's called these days. It's all there. It's all there, Jordan. Go catch up.
It's all there. It's all there for you. People are saying John's went for a 4-1. Deckard's went for a 4-1.
Ooh,
Real D,
5-1, 2-1.
5-1, Jackie, 2-1,
Tony. You're a realistic bunch.
Everyone's positive.
I like it.
That's what I like to see. Not on Tuesday. That's what I like to see.
Honey Monster on a free.
Honey Monster on a free. Says Lee. Run it back. Brucey Days. Miggy false 10. Says Aaron. 3 false 10s. Says Robbie.
3 false 10s.
Deckard's got the stats in here for haven't lost to Forest since 87. Gaza playing, we got beat 2-1. Gaza must have had a few too many Warbians that day.
Oh, he might have done, to be fair. He's had a few in them in his time.
He must have done. John saying it's Eddie. If Eddie starts Burn, he's mental. Alanga and Gibbs White would destroy him. Got to play Tino Shirley. We touched on that earlier.
I think Gibbs White did a bit on Boxing Day and all, to be fair, like, didn't he?
You ever heard of Ritsu Duan before?
I don't know. Don't think so.
Never heard.
Looks familiar, but I'm trying to picture where I've seen it, and I'm not bringing any bells on there.
Sells was at Strasbourg in France. Is
fantastic.
Strasbourg, and you only signed for like 5 million. One of the last signs on Delaney, wasn't he? A late one. Even lads is Alan. Do you think Barnes will start against Forest, or will he be saved till after half time? I think Willock or Wilson. Depends on Gordon, really, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, I don't think, like you say, Gordon's on a boot and crutches, so I'd be amazed if he starts. Like, you'll at least be on the bench, so I feel like Barnes has to start, really. But again, it comes down to the striker as well. Like, without Gordon, Isaac, and potentially Wilson, if we haven't got a fit striker, so Barnes is going to have to start somewhere, unfortunately, because I don't know what his fitness levels is like. Same with Wilson. Feels like someone's going to be forced into starting 11 that isn't fully fit, whether that's Barnes, Wilson, or whoever else. So, who knows?
Lads.
Hello.
No club with a turnover under 450 million has won the Champions League in the last 10 years. We're still 200 million short. There we go then. Still very short. Robbie's saying apparently in UFC going to Australia for pre-season. People doing it are starting to talk. Wouldn't be surprised at all if we did try and go to that.
Yeah.
Build part the Australian of the world. Market. Yeah. Obviously, we did America last year. I think next up would be Australia or Asia type of thing. Maybe they could do Singapore and Australia and one type of thing.
I'd miss that.
Yeah, I think we would do that. So, announcement for that probably come like March, April time. Chris Nas, I said it.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, good he's been now.
He is. 2-2, really,
but he's
good,
been like such a threat as well.
I'm surprised he went out on loan, to be fair, but I don't know how good he's been in Spain, though. Has he been decent at Villarreal?
No, he wasn't that great. A couple of goals in like 20 games, but 2-2 for Sheffield, and he looks more at home in England, to be fair. Matt, you need to grab a DM on your socials. Pop with a DM on Instagram, make sure it's what you've got.
Send a message.
Send them in. Send your designs in. Happy to have a look at them. Right, I think we'll finish off in just a minute or so. Let's just make sure I haven't missed anything. I saying Shearer's 50 million equivalent of 30 million a day shows how inflated he'd be worth well over 100 million.
That is crazy that like we literally spent a world record fee. I still find that crazy. And that was what, less than 30 years ago, 20, 28, 29 years ago. We spent a world record fee. Not a club record fee, not a Premier League record fee, world record for 15 million. I think that's fucking crazy.
Mental. And then we didn't break it for pretty God knows how long
it was. Owen,
and then we didn't break the Owen one until Miggy for another 12, 15 years. We missed out with that. Dwight Gayle's a free agent. Bring him home.
Bring him sorted.
Home. Bring him home for Saturday. Blow on a Gayle. Get him in.
Seen Rondon mentioned a couple of times. Is he a free agent?
Rundy.
Where's he at?
Rundy's still going.
I haven't actually heard of him since, because he went to China with Rafa, didn't he? But I haven't heard where he's been since then.
Too many salt pepper chickens for Rundy, aren't I? Too much the old honey chili chicken for Rundy.
Sounds good to me.
Actually, like, what a player Rundy was.
He was. One
he was crap everywhere else and he came for us.
Absolutely crap.
He loved it. He played out, played his soul out for
obviously
us.
He just loved Rafa, didn't he?
Loved Rafa. Loved the tune.
Loved the Brunel.
Rondon is a number 9, man. Absolutely mad. People just griefing Southgate and stuff in the comments as well.
Fair play.
Going back. Aye, that'll do. Let's see. There's the last couple from the live, and then we'll sign out. Dwight, baby.
Dwight, baby. There you go.
Tell you what, I mean, desperation at this point, best can't be Jesus. Good question here again by Chris. He's bringing in all the bangers, to be fair. I'm going to shout out Chris Taylor.
Hey, Chris.
Good notes. What about England playing St. James' Keg?
That was mentioned. I like that.
Yesterday or so, wasn't it? Officially confirmed that I put it out on our sources last week when the rumour was there, but now has been confirmed. England will play Bosnia-Herzegovina on the 3rd of June. Monday night, I think it is.
Interesting.
St. James's first time we've played in the two and the three lines since 2005.
I was going to say, maybe it's about 2007 or something. I remember Beckham playing, that was pretty much about this.
2-0 win over Azerbaijan.
Yeah.
So that's good, isn't it?
Yeah, nice. I like seeing them spread around a little bit because I always feel like Wembley's a bit of a piss take, like having them like constantly, because especially for us as Northerners, like it's a long way to go. And like, they don't really come up much. I know they've played at, like, played at Leicester Stadium. I know they've played at Wolves a couple of times. We even played at Sunderland a couple of times. I don't know if the last time was the pre-Euro 2016 game we were there.
Aye.
Have they been there since?
No, I think so.
But it's nice to spread around a little bit, as they should. Like, especially for just a friendly and all. Like, I maybe play at Wembley for like the big important games, like proper qualifiers and things that actually mean anything. But for a friendly...
You should take them to the country.
Absolutely,
should be playing at Villa Park,
definitely.
Newcastle, Anfield, whatever.
I always feel like we get forgotten about up north. I feel like no one gives a fuck about us, so... Yeah, it's nice to spread around a little bit and show us the England first team.
Thanks for the kind comments there from Richard. Thank you very much. And Tony as well, who's enjoying the new format, the podcast, which is our new weekly live show every Tuesday at 7. That'll do then. Thank you very much, everyone that has tuned into the podcast and who has listened on audio platforms as well. You've listened on Spotify, Apple, Google, wherever you get your podcast. We are on there in your ear. Every week as well. Thanks very much, people. Thank you again to Anarchy Brewery for hosting us this evening. It's been fantastic.
Like it here.
I'm going to take the rest of these more beer cans home and enjoy myself.
Yeah. Everybody else should do the same.
Well, they should do the same, and you can do the same by scanning the QR code or going to the website below there, which
should
also...
We do this, always get it at the wrong angle. So, where is it?
There you go. You've got it.
There it is.
There you go. And then you can go to the website below there, which again... We'll take you to the War Beer, which obviously gets donated the War's War Flag as well for more fantastic displays. Good stuff. Cheers, everyone. Cheers, Keg. Been a pleasure.
No worries. You too. I'd cheers you, but I'm all out.
I'm all out. Time to refill, people. Yeah. Cheers, everyone. Enjoy the rest of your week. We'll see you again soon on the Magpie Channel. Looking forward to Forrest's game. Thanks. Subscribe, like, share, and enjoy yourself.